That is At the Lamb's High Feast We Sing, and it is a hymn assigned for the fifth Sunday of Easter. And today is April the 24th in the year of our Lord, 2018. It's Rumination Tuesday, where we talk about hymns for the coming Sunday. And with us is Reverend Mark Smith.
Hi, Mark. Tom. How you doing today?
I'm doing really good. And how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I'm anxious for the month of May.
Why?
And for warmer weather.
Oh, so you don't like the season of Easter?
No. I love Easter. I like the arrival of spring. You know, I like to see the leaves come out on the trees. And
yeah, I think they said it'd be about July 9th.
Yeah.
Boy, this hymn was dated from the 6th to the 9th centuries. And the hymn abounds in references to the Paschal services, especially those of Easter. And the catechumens, clothed in white, were first baptized, then confirmed, and so on the basis of this hymn went to their first communion on Easter morning. And it's a reminder of the commemoration of the Israelites' deliverance from the Egyptian bondage with their passage through the Red Sea.
Yes.
And journey into the Promised Land. So we don't really know who wrote it.
Boy, I'll tell you, somebody did a tremendous job.
You consider this to be one of the better hymns?
Oh, boy, it's a great. We do this every Easter. Every Easter during the distribution.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well,
the words are just terrific.
You're going to be doing it this Sunday?
You're probably doing this. Yeah. In fact, you do it at Easter, and you get time to do it the next fifth Sunday, too. So, yeah.
So, without further ado, let's go ahead, if you'd be so kind as to read the first stanza.
At the Lamb's high feast we sing, praise to our victorious King, who has washed us in the tide, flowing from his pierced side. Alleluia.
Yes. I mentioned in the promo that we no longer follow the ceremonial laws of the Old Testament, the feasts, etc. So what is this talking about at the Lamb's high feast? What feast is this?
Well, I'll tell you, it's talking about Easter, the feast of Holy Communion, or it
yes.
could be talking about the feast of the Lamb in the kingdom. In the hereafter, you know, the wedding feast of the Lamb that never ends.
Yes. If somebody were to ask you, how do you know you're saved? You would say you were washed.
I was washed at baptism.
Yes.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting how this stanza doesn't say that?
Let's see.
Who has washed us
in the tide flowing from his pierced side? Well, that's of course talking about the cross.
Yes.
You know.
The cross. And last Sunday, I have an adult instruction class, and we were talking about baptism.
But the cross, of course, the water and the blood, there's baptism coming through there.
Yeah, there's no doubt. As I was saying before, I was rudely interrupted. but you're a co-host, so you can interrupt me anytime you want.
Okay.
Okay. Great one.
You'll be sorry you said that.
Yeah, I know. I was making the point that how, you know me, I love questions. I asked the students, how do you know you're saved? And the answer was, because we have faith. And I said, no, that's actually a false teaching that you have faith in your faith. Because is your faith always perfect? And so when it isn't, you're going to doubt it. I said, God wanted to give a sign to us that we have actually received the gift of the forgiveness of sins. And it becomes our assurance that we are saved. And what is that sign?
Baptism.
Excellent. Yes. And I think you really connected it well with the blood flowing from his side. Because when the spear went in him, out came blood and
water.
And that division of the two occurs when death takes place.
Right.
So we've got from the scripture real clear historical evidence that Christ really died. I read a book by a Jewish rabbi who said that when he was given that vinegar near the end of the cross, when he said, I thirst, that actually was some kind of drug that feigned death. really slow down breathing, and that the plan was to have him appear later on as though he rose from the dead, but then...
The swoon theory.
Yes, very good. And the problem was they hadn't expected the spear.
Uh-huh.
And he died from that later on.
Sure.
But that's how some people try and use reason to contradict God's holy word. I'll do two. Praise we him whose love divine gives his sacred blood for wine, gives his body for the feast. Christ the victim, Christ the priest, alleluia. So what's that talking about?
I love that last line. Christ the victim, Christ the priest. You know, he's the offering on the altar of the cross, and he's also the priest, you know, the go-between. He's the one that has atoned, has blasted through sin, has cut the curtain in the temple in two, and brought us to God.
Yeah, there were two tasks the priests did in the Old Testament. The one was they did the prayers, and the other one was they offered the sacrifices.
Right.
Well, Jesus did both.
Mm-hmm.
He taught us the Lord's Prayer, and then he became the priest. In fact, another way of putting that, you could say, Christ the Lamb, Christ the Shepherd.
Yes, you're right. Yeah, he's both.
Yes. So all these analogies are to make it clear what he did for us. And the people did not follow the example of the priest in the Old Testament. No. They listened to the word of God that the priest would talk about. But so also Jesus didn't die as an example for us as to how we're saved, that we also die for our own sins.
No, that's right. He's done it all for us. It is finished.
Okay. Three.
Where the paschal blood is poured, death's dread angel sheathes the sword. Israel's host triumphant go through the wave that drowns the foe. Alleluia. Oh, that's a great verse. You know, I mean...
You're saying that about every verse.
Yeah, I know. They are. They're just beautiful, beautiful
you
words. You know, where the paschal blood is poured, death's dread angel sheathes the sword. In other words, puts the sword back. You know, in other words, he's got to put his sword away in sight of the paschal blood.
When didn't he? When did he at first put his sword away?
Well, Passover.
Yes.
Yeah.
In fact, that's specifically what that says, that Israel's host triumphant go through the wave that drowns the foe.
Yeah, there you go. That's the reference to the Red Sea crossing, right?
So I can understand why you use this for the Lord's Supper.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
it says the Lord's Supper at the top of the page, Tom.
That's only in this hymnal. In my hymnal, it's Ode to Pastors. Okay. And we're trying to explain every word. The kids are not going to understand the word paschal.
Passover.
Yeah. Passover is just another word for the Passover.
Right, right.
And remember, they put blood over the doorway and the angel of death passed over who believed that promise. And that's why he sees the sword, because of Jesus' blood.
Mm-hmm.
Four.
Okay. Praise we Christ whose blood was shed, paschal victim, paschal bread. With sincerity and love eat we manna from above. Alleluia. Another reference to the Exodus.
See, a really good hymn brings in a lot of Bible verses.
Oh, man, yeah.
And this is...
And a lot of pictures from Bible stories, too. Just look at all the pictures it brings to mind. You know, the Passover... The Red Sea crossing, the manna in the wilderness.
The angel of death.
The angel of death. I mean, it's loaded.
By the way, you just hit a point that you may be unaware of, because I just read about it. Excuse me, I had to sneeze. They were examining why some songs in the secular world are loved more than others. And they found out a lot of times it isn't the tune, but it's the story
yes.
behind the
yes.
song.
Yes, 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 yes. I can see that.
And what I do when I drive to the various churches, I have CDs, DVDs. But one of the CDs I'm going through are Oldies But Goodies. And
from what years?
Oh, as I was
60s, 70s,
yeah.
60s?
Oh, yeah.
It's when you were 30.
Yeah, yeah, that was when I was 30 feet tall. At any rate, or 30 inches. The ones I really like always have a story. You know, there's that, oh, that one. In fact, I played it on here where he's driving with his girlfriend. They have an accident.
Yes,
and she dies.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
And what
Teen
does he
Angel?
Say?
Is it Teen Angel?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes,
and
I
he
know.
Says, this is a great line. He wants to be with her in heaven, so I got to be good.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
In fact, that's what I'm doing for the Bible classes. I'm showing movies that I've taken off the TV, segments of it. One of them was a real good Seinfeld one on Christianity to show how righteous the world thinks of Christianity.
The world just doesn't get it. They just
no,
don't
they
get,
really
they don't get it.
Tomorrow's going to be an interesting Insight Wednesday on the basis of a wonderful article I was sent that when people are attacking Christianity, and you see that in our Post-Dispatch all over the place, television and everything, their real attack, and I'm going to explain this tomorrow, is against black women.
Ooh. Ooh.
So we'll wait till tomorrow to hear about
that. Yes, please do. Yes.
Five.
Mighty victim from the sky, hell's fierce powers beneath you lie. You have conquered in the fight. You have brought us life and light. Alleluia. There's another one. Hell's fierce powers beneath you lie. God has put all things under his feet.
Yeah.
Even hell's fierce powers.
The word normally used there is they are subject to him.
Right.
Yes. Mighty victim. How do we understand that? Why would the writer put that in? Is Jesus a victim?
He's the victim. He's the priest. We said that earlier,
yes.
Remember?
Very good.
Christ the victim, Christ the priest, mighty victim. I mean, he's sent from on high. He leaves his heavenly Father's throne and to be the victim, to be the sacrifice.
Yes.
To atone for the sins of the whole world.
And that's what the priest did. You know, they would take a sheep and take it outside the camp.
Yes.
Into the wilderness. Was Jesus crucified in Jerusalem?
Outside the gates.
That's right.
Yes.
He also, in fact, Mount Calvary was also known as a garbage dump.
Yeah. You know, Kit with Golgotha, the place of the skull.
Place of the skull. Yes.
You know, I've always.
That's what Calvary means.
I've always drawn the connection between the name Golgotha, which means skull.
Yes.
And the first gospel, which talks about him crushing Satan's head.
Oh, that's, I never
have
thought
you,
of
have
that.
Have you ever thought of that?
No.
Oh, yeah. Well, look at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne. Look at their seal.
Logo.
Has the cross, and the snake is underneath the cross.
Oh, yes.
The head of the snake.
Right, right.
Yeah. That's how he crushed Satan's head.
In
by
fact,
his crucifixion, which took place on Golgotha, the skull.
Did you ever see The Passion, the movie?
Yes.
Because that's how it starts off, with the heel of Jesus.
Crushing the serpent. Oh, I just stomped too loud here in the radio.
Did you hurt the snake?
No.
Okay, good. All righty, I'll do six. Now, no more can death appall. Now, no more the grave enthrall. You have opened paradise, and your saints in you shall rise. Now, I don't think kids would understand appall or
enthrall.
Enthrall. So explain that.
Enthrall is that's the one word. You know, enthrall is more of a joyous thing.
Yes.
Whereas the grave, you know, overwhelms.
Yeah.
Really, if overwhelm would have worked better, there'd probably been a better word. But
well, there's actually a lot of people who look forward to death.
Uh-huh.
Because they get rid of all their problems. Look how many suicides are occurring.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Death is glorified.
Exactly. Enthralled with
you know,
it.
That Death Walkers. What's that crazy program that's on? What is it?
The Walking Dead.
The Walking Dead.
Oh, yes.
People are
enthralled with that.
They are.
I never watch any of those. I can't stand
I don't either. I think it's weird.
Yeah.
You know, these zombie shows. You know,
you got to have a little reasonableness to these things. But I'll watch Alien. So I don't know why I like that one and not the others. But anyway.
You have more time than I have, let me tell you.
Yeah, The Grave Enthrall. That's where people look at the high rate of suicides among soldiers returning from war.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sad, tragic.
Exactly. And, you know, I just saw a documentary where, you know, you don't know that much about the computer, but there is a way to get to a certain segment of the computer where they sell illegal drugs.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's called the dark place. And what happened, these people get drugs, they try them, and one young man, after he took it, thought he could jump out of a third-story window to his death.
Oh, boy.
And they were blaming the guy selling the drugs. And I said, no, no, you've got to blame the person buying the drug. Why would you buy something knowing that that is going to give you a high and you're going to be out of control and this sort of thing?
Well, they both bear some blame. You know, the one that sold it, too. You know,
there's no doubt.
Diabolical.
He got two life sentences, by the way.
He should.
Because there were many people who died and... What are opiates right now?
Opiates, yeah.
Or a lot of people are dying from. Have you ever felt, because I never have, to take a drug to get a high?
No, I really, that I'm just not.
Isn't that something?
That's not where I am at all.
No. I mean, we have other sets.
I remember even taking a medication. I remember taking a medication for pain. I had a kidney stone. And they said, now, you be careful with this. You know, OxyContin, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And even then, I can't imagine.
No.
Thanks be to God. I'm very thankful that I don't have that draw to drugs.
Well, I was
like
just
that.
Watching an advertisement of, it's a group that's trying to help people who are in this, and they said, addiction is a disease. And I'm yelling at the TV, no, it's not. It's a crime.
Mm-hmm.
People become addicted because they can't stand life the way it is
and they want.
Now, the only people that might not, certain people like you just mentioned, are on certain drugs
They've
to relieve
prescribed.
Pain.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden they get addicted to them and they can't stop.
Right, right.
Yeah. So that there we have to have some sympathy for
Absolutely,
that.
Absolutely, yes.
But boy, it's a horrible thing. That you'd want to...
No, I tell you, I have a hard enough time... I'm addicted to chocolate, you know. I have a hard enough time doing without that. I don't need any drugs to be addicted to, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Chocolate and pizza. There's plenty of things that that I fight with.
Well, every now and then my back goes out. So as soon as I start feeling the pain, I go right to the Advil.
Yeah.
Now, how swallowing something that goes in your stomach takes away the pain in your back is beyond me.
I don't know.
Just amazing how God allows certain things to work. But anyway, I'll read 7. Easter triumph, Easter joy, this alone can sin destroy. From sin's power, Lord, set us free, newborn souls in you to be. Now, I think you need to explain how we are set free from sin's power.
Well, that even happens with our baptism.
Okay, what's the power we're set free from?
The power of...
continuing to sin?
No, it's the power of blame. Our sins are atoned for.
Yes. And which means that the punishment that we should be receiving, we are now made free from.
Right. Now, I know you always say guilt is not taken away, right?
No. Yeah. Guilt is not taken. We're still guilty of the crime.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're free from the consequences.
Right, right.
See, what forgiveness does isn't get rid of your sin, but you are no longer held accountable for it.
You know, I struggle a little bit with that, Tom. When you say we're not free from the guilt, I'm still working through that. Isn't that what the gospel does? Is free us from that? I know the devil still taunts us. He still airs our dirty laundry in front of us and says, and I know that's true. But doesn't the gospel, to a certain extent, at least conquer guilt?
No,
not at all.
I'll give you an example of something that happened. One of my members was drinking too much, and he had an accident that killed two people.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That guilt never goes away.
Yeah, yeah.
He knows he's forgiven.
Right,
and he tries to help the family and this sort of thing.
Yeah.
But because the old Adam is what keeps bringing it back.
Right.
In heaven, there will be no guilt.
Well, so that's what I'm saying. Isn't guilt?
Well, that's because of a new spirit.
Isn't that part of our old sinful nature that the guilt doesn't leave us?
I think so. Yes. Mm-hmm. But the new man also repents.
Yeah.
Every time we repent, that's a way of saying I'm guilty of this.
Mm-hmm.
Like for example, when you sin in the household, you do what I do. We always blame our wife, right?
No.
No, we sure don't.
I'm still pondering what you've just said.
Here's the thing. If you say the guilt goes away and people still feel guilty, they think they're not forgiven.
I see, yeah, yeah.
You can't?
Well, isn't that the devil continues to whisper in our ear, so to speak? Isn't the devil's taunting? Isn't guilt really the devil's taunting of us?
No. I think the Holy Spirit uses the law to remind us that we're responsible for what we've done. And that's why Christ is our only salvation.
Right.
That's why we repent. Mm-hmm. Repent is me voluntarily saying, I am the one guilty of this. I am the one totally responsible. And I would say 90% of the sins that I've done, I don't feel guilty about anymore because they were small or they're gone or this kind of thing.
Right.
I mean, I don't feel guilty about the traffic tickets I got when I went over the speed limit.
Right.
But boy, can you imagine babysitting one of your grandchildren and not watching them and they die? You will never feel guilty about. Or women who've had abortions.
Yes, yes.
By about the sixth or seventh or eighth year, they begin to understand that.
Right.
Stanza 8 to finish.
Father, who the crown shall give, Savior by whose death we live, Spirit guide through all our days, three in one, your name we praise. Alleluia.
There's a triangle there. Why?
That's a doxological verse. We stand for that. It's talked about the Trinity. It's got all persons of the Trinity in there.
The Father who the crown shall give. Who does he give the crown to?
You and me.
Yes, according to Revelation. The Savior, isn't this interesting, by whose death we live.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, irony again.
Yeah, and you pointed out some of your favorite verses here, or points. Spirit guide through all our days. Remember, the work of the Holy Spirit is sanctification, guiding us through the will of the law and helping us to obey. And three in one, your name we praise. What I feel bad is we don't know who the original author was.
Isn't that? Well, that's the way it goes sometimes.
Yes.
He sure deserves our...
In fact, when it was written, they say between the 5th and 10th century.
Oh, I know. Think of that. These people were, you know, we all usually think of people living back then as not very smart. But these people were giants.
And where is your church?
Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in Crestwood, south of the Watson New Sappington intersection. Join us 9 o'clock Sunday or 5 o'clock Saturday.
Excellent. You know what you're preaching on?
Not Easter.
Yet. Oh, that's good.
We got confirmation this Sunday.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yes. I'm John Baker, and we'll be back tomorrow for Insight Wednesday. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on Worldwide KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check payable to Concordia Mission Society and mail it to Tom Baker, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri, 63132. To give online, visit lawandgospel101.com or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.